Welcome back, guys. What you're about to listen to is an episode of the Four Fires podcast that was recorded at the local area director retreat down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, back on February 16th through 18th, 2024. If you're wondering what a local area director is, that's a man who's volunteering his time to join in with the Four Fires nonprofit and help us build the army of four-dimensional men in the city that they live. If that sounds interesting to you and that you might want to join in on that team of local area directors, send me an email at info@four-fires.com. You can also find that email in the description. What we're going to be talking about in this episode is the purpose fire. So I hope you enjoy it. Be sure to share it with someone you know and live intentionally.
Welcome to the Four Fires Podcast, where we talk about winning in all four of the essential areas of life.
So thinking about the purpose fire in our relationship with God, do you guys have a specific moment in your life when you experienced God that really impacted your faith and your understanding the need for the purpose fire and having an intimate relationship with Jesus?
Sure, I can take it.
Yeah.
I would say that the moment or a moment that comes to mind is honestly not like some crazy pinnacle moment where I was like doing something that made me feel especially close to God. Mm-hmm. But it was really just kind of like a smaller thing. But almost 5 years ago, around the time when the Lord saved me, I was at a wedding for some friends from my church, and like, It was just kind of like a normal wedding, and I didn't expect anything really to happen. But at that wedding, the gospel was so clearly on display, and God's love for the church and the love and community within the church was so clearly displayed just within the celebration of that marriage that my love for God and my love for the church grew tremendously. And it was in that moment where I realized like it's not about, a checklist. 'Cause I grew up in the church. I had, and I like tried to do all the right things and had all these mindsets about what it was to be a Christian, and was very self-righteous and like, if I did this and this, then like I'm good, even though I had done all these, you know, sins and other things like that. But yeah, in that moment, just my love for God and his church was transformed.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that you experienced God when you were in the presence with other believers. Like, yeah, you felt God's love because of the environment that you put yourself in.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah. And that's part of like the commitments, right? So
yeah.
The purpose fires your connectedness with God and then your commitments to him. And so that looks like being involved in a local church and surrounding yourself with other Christians and reading and praying your Bible, or reading your Bible and praying. For me, I feel like mine, so similar, like the experience where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like understanding how much Jesus loves me, and how much God loves me, has come a couple different times that just like stand out to me in my mind is when I'm reading God's word. Like I've had times where like I just start weeping, and I'm not even quite sure how to describe it. I'll just be like, so scripture tells us that God's word is alive and breathing, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting to the hearts of men. And so there's just been times where I feel like I really experienced God has been when I'm alone and quiet. Sometimes it's been when I'm in the woods hunting. I'll be reading scripture where I'm just alone in God's creation. That's when I feel like I've experienced God, is when I'm reading his word, and it just kind of, I mean, it just comes, the words just like come alive in my soul is how I can't, that's how I can explain it. And I just have this feeling like, oh my gosh, God loves me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me so that I can be in relationship with him. And I think it comes into the reason I'm able to see all that is reading both Old Testament and New Testament. Like I was reading through all the law of Moses and like how hard it was, all the things that you had to do to be close to God. But then God loves us enough. He loves each of us enough that he's like, no, I want to be in relationship with you. I'm going to send my son to die for you so that you don't have to do all those ritual things just to, or have a priest go into the Holy of Holies to talk to me for you. So just understanding how much God loves me, that that he just wants to be in relationship with me, and I get that from when I'm reading his word. And then sometimes when I start having some sort of confusion in life, or just like, what's like going on, what am I doing with my life, I always can recenter myself when I go read God's word. It just like, it's just like the, you know, there's a scripture that talks about a peace, like God's peace that goes beyond understanding, and that's sort of what I feel when I'm reading God's word. So that's when I'm reading scripture. And then there's like worship services can be really powerful too, when you're just in the presence of other believers and you just like feel the Holy Spirit's in the room. But I feel like the biggest moments that stand out to me when I just like uncontrollably start weeping is when I'm alone seeking God. James 4:8 says, when you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So like, I think that comes into the commitments. Like, as you seek to read God's word and understand him. And Sean, you've recently bought 2 study Bibles, mm-hmm. and you're wanting to start digging deeper into just like the original language and mm-hmm. And just digging into it. And that, I believe that you're going to find it, because if like James 4:8, if you seek God, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you.
Right. And yeah. the you know, we all aspire to grow, to learn, to be closer, to be better. And that involves, you know, that study. And so for me, for this year, you know, taking that to the next step and going deeper and understanding more so that we can be closer.
So I actually had a I'll call it an affirmation moment, if anything. Mm-hmm. Quick backstory. I had a kid that I've known, knew him when he was much younger, got into some legal problems. His parents called me and said, look, we need your help. I worked on getting his stuff dismissed prior to them actually moving forward on it. And I met with him, and almost like in a big brother kind of context. I was his lawyer, but it was a big brother context. And I remember talking with him. He was 18, 19 years old. And I said, what do you want in life? And, you know, it's hard for an 18, 19 year old. I couldn't have given you that answer, no, but right. he gave me some answer, and I just kept poking holes in it. So, well, hold on. What about this? What about this? What about this? And it was almost like a moment of realization for me. Because it was, you know, I don't give much good advice, but this one was actually good advice, and it was accidental. And so he was getting involved with this girl, and he picks bad chicas, you know, for, that's just what he does. And we got to the root of it, and he has this hero complex. My response to him was, all right, well, first of all, if she needs a hero, she probably ain't your girl. All right, that's number one. And number two, I said, what do you want your life to look like? And he gave me the general answer of, you know, I want to be a good dad, I want to be a good husband, I want to have kids, you know, all this stuff. And the moment of realization for me was I experience God, and I'm fortunate enough to, every single Sunday. And the reason why, it's because, and I wasn't being intentional of listening to God tell me things. God's got a good way in my life. When I say, all right, I got a plan, and he slaps me upside the face and goes, no, you don't.
Yeah.
All right. No. Fortunately, his plan's always been better than whatever plan I could have possibly conceived. But I wasn't being intentional every Sunday when I realized how amazing it is that I pull my wife and kids up to the church and we get them out, we're carrying them in and we're walking into church. I'm getting my kids in church, getting my wife into church. I'm getting into church to listen to God's word. My kids are not worried. My wife is not worried about whether the bills are paid, whether we're going to lose our house. They're not afraid for their life or safety. They know where the next meal's coming from. And now every Sunday I become intentional, and it's almost like I feel God put his hand on my shoulder and say, hey, you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Don't get cocky. I'll humble you real quick.
Yeah.
And you're not perfect, so don't think you're there. But just understand, this is what you always wanted. Mm-hmm. This is where you're supposed to be, and you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And in my small group that we have at home, we had a group member, and he said something that stuck with all of us, which is, remember that everything you have today, at one point you prayed for. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so when I say experience God, mine comes in the form of, every Sunday, I realize how great and how honored I am to get my kids into church. Mm-hmm. My wife doesn't worry about the bills being paid. And it's pretty awesome for me that he's reaching his hand down and he's saying, hey, you know what? You're on the right track. You're on the right track.
Yeah. When I was in premarital counseling, we had a whole lesson that talked about choosing happiness. And that's what I just heard you say is, like I was hearing, your choice of gratitude, like going to church and then I guess just slowing down to think about and recognize, wow, I have a lot to be thankful for, and it's a choice to do that.
Isn't gratitude an amazing thing?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Paul says love covers a multitude of sins. Uh-huh. I think gratitude does. It really does.
Well, he says in 1 Thessalonians 2, like, give thanks always. And yeah. I think that kind of plays into that. Like,
for sure it does.
Giving thanks to God for all the blessings is so important. I think it's also part of just, like, humbling ourselves. Because, like, it can be easy to get in the mindset of, like, oh, I've worked so hard and kind of earned these things. But, like, nothing is, you can't take anything for granted. Yeah. You know, everything is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your ability to work is a gift from God.
Right. So we talked last night. I mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it talks about that. It just says, be very careful that you do not ever say, I have created this wealth, or I have done this out of my own strength, because everything comes from God.
Yeah.
We talked about in the people fire, having an amazing marriage was all about a servant's heart. And so I think it's actually, I think I can say this confidently, it's impossible to have a servant's heart if you're not grateful, if you're not choosing happiness all the time, because then I almost feel like you have to choose gratitude because you serve because you're grateful, I think. Do you think that's correlated? Like you choose to serve your wife, you choose to serve your fellow man because you're legitimately grateful for just the opportunity to be able to get up and walk around.
You know, the saying when I was young was, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I.
Right.
And in my own life, I've had opportunities to meet the poorest of the poor and the wealthiest of the wealthy. And what has struck me was, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so that gratitude that you mentioned, understanding that circumstances could have been different if it wasn't for God's grace and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be in a completely different situation. I could have had different parents. I could have had different outcomes in my professional. I could have had different events that occurred, could have come out a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so accepting and being grateful for where you are and the benefits, and we are all fortunate here. We are sitting in beautiful Gulf Shores. I'm blessed to be here with three great guys. And so that is just thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So I think we kind of, you know, we've kind of already answered this question, but I wanted to ask, what is y'all's, What do you feel like is your greatest discipline in your purpose fire and your relationship with God?
I'll jump in, and I say this because we talked about it last night. I'm still honing my skills in a professional context, but and I am well compensated for what I do. It's just the nature of the profession. But where I have my most success, and I feel fortunate that I get to, is when I have a client, there's a legal problem, whether we're in court, in a back room somewhere negotiating, or we're just trying to figure out a solution, which is, I feel like in a way that I get to serve God by just being a problem solver. Whatever is burdening you, my client, how can I take care of it? Mm-hmm. And it's when I stray away from that and think that if I lose focus and I say, here is the legal problem, here is the legal solution, mm-hmm. rather than here is my client, here is their problem. It sounds like I'm talking about the exact same thing, but it's something completely different. Mm-hmm. It's when I focus on the person and their problem rather than, you know, the number they are in my client management software, right. or the deadline that I've got to hit for the next mm-hmm. court hearing. So I feel very fortunate that, and I do a pretty decent job of it, of in my professional life, thinking about myself as a Christian first and a lawyer second. I feel very fortunate that I get a profession like that, because I don't know how I would do it. You know, if I was in a different profession, I'm not sure how I would do it. I'm sure you can come up with one. Mm-hmm. I've known a grocery bagger at Aldi's, and he actually had a Christ-centered mindset with regards to his work, which is, I'm a Christian, let me show you my light. Yeah. You're only going to get it about 10 seconds when the milk and the eggs are coming down the aisle, I'm going to put it in your bag. More so than my income, it is the ability to be a Christian within the context of which I work. And right. I feel so fortunate for that every single day.
That is really powerful, because when I asked the question, I was expecting to hear from you guys like, yeah, I pray every day, or I read my Bible every day. Like when I asked the question, what's your greatest purpose, fire, discipline? But for you to, your answer is, my greatest purpose, fire, discipline is making sure that I don't only think about my purpose fire on Sunday. Hmm. Like that is really powerful. I think it's easy to feel like your professional fire is unrelated to your purpose fire. And so it sounds like you do a beautiful job of making sure they're not separate.
We got a lot of work to do in the other facets.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. 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 But that, man, it's when you do connect them all, because I think I did a podcast a long time ago about the complementary nature of all four fires and how they're not four separate entities that are just four different areas of life you're trying to build. They build off of each other. When you have a stronger relationship with God, you're probably, like in your case and all of our cases, like you're probably going to have more of a servant heart in your professional life, which is probably going to help you be more successful. We talked about, you know, a dollar can be thought of as a reward. Somebody's rewarding you for the quality service that you provided them. So if you have a more of a servant's heart, then you're probably going to have more people that are willing to give you dollars because you serve them so well. And it's just a reward. So, and then there's all kinds of things. I think I did a podcast on it where I just tied all the things on how you build one, it can help another. But that's good. Any other?
I would just say it's a hard question, because I think they're all so important. And I think it's important to not prioritize one over the other necessarily. Like, you kind of need them all in order to continue to build the flame mm-hmm. with your relationship with God. So it can be easy to say, like, yeah, I read my Bible every day, but then you're not praying. But I think it's important that we read our Bible and pray together, because when you're reading your Bible, you're hearing from God. You know, that's his word, and it's living and active, like you were talking about. But when we pray, we're able to respond to God. Like, God has given us open access to communicate back to him. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for those to be connected, and you can't, you just cannot do that on your own. You have to be in the context of a solid church. And so I think that it's really important to not necessarily don't simplify it, mm-hmm. I guess. Really make sure that you're doing all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. You have anything to add, Sean?
Well, the word that popped to mind was humility. And I think you're correct in that they are all connected. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to lead a successful life if you're a train wreck in any one of the four. And you had mentioned, you know, earlier, we don't trust the skinny chef, you know. So in your purpose is the kind of the glue that holds the others together. And having the humility to say, I'm imperfect, and I know that I am imperfect, but I am making the effort. I am making the commitment, and I am taking ownership to be better. And I know that there's a higher power that it has laid out a path for us that says, do these things.
Yeah.
And as you connect, the purpose connects the glue that brings your professional and your physical, bringing those in together. You can't have one without all of them, mm-hmm. that they really are a circle. And that circle continues to revolve as our life progresses, as we go through, because all of us here are in different stages of our lives. Yeah. And so that we see how we address those things, and having that, we talk about servant leadership, but that is, to me, the word that came to mind was humility. Mm-hmm. I'm on this. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. Just ask my wife. She will tell you. But that's okay, mm-hmm. right? Because we know we're on this path, this journey together as men, that we are making the effort. We are striving to understand, and we are striving and struggling to be better.
Yeah. I just want to throw in one of the purpose fire disciplines that I think is most beneficial for my life, because my wife and I are one. We've joined together in marriage, and we are one. And so she is part of my life. And so I feel like me initiating spiritual conversations with my wife is one of my greatest purpose fire disciplines, because it allows her and I to connect on a deeper level. And for I see it as my responsibility as her husband and the man, the leader, to make sure that we're having spiritual conversations, to talk, to make sure, one, that we can, we just give each other great advice. And and I love Rachel so much, because she'll say, well, what does Scripture say about that? Rather than us just sitting there trying to figure it out in our own brain about God tells us, do not rely on your own understanding. Yeah. So I think that one of my greatest purpose fire disciplines is initiating the spiritual conversations with my wife, and then us making sure, helping each other make sure that our hearts are in the right place when it comes to any topic in our life.
I hope you got some value out of this conversation that we had back at the local area director retreat. Be sure to share this podcast with someone you know, and remember to live intentionally.